السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, for the last few months we have spoken about the balance, the mizan. We are nowhere close to completing that topic, but I would like to shift from that topic for a few weeks and speak about two topics that are very relevant to the month of Muharram. And then by the will of Allah, if Allah wills, inshallah, we will return back to the topic of Al-Mizan, the scale. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have entered the first month of the Islamic calendar. It is known as the month of Muharram. Many a times when the month of Muharram arrives, Muslims throughout the entire world, they enter a state of sorrow. Their mood becomes gloomy. I would like to shed light upon this mood before we can even speak about the two profound personalities. Before we can even speak about these two profound personalities, it is a very complex issue. It is a very touchy issue that I'm going to touch upon today. Allah Almighty, through His infinite wisdom and His blessing, allow me to construct what I want to say in a style that is understood and accepted by my noble audience. Many Muslim personalities in the past have been murdered, have attained the high rank of martyrdom. May it be Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, may it be Hazrat Usman Ghani, may it be Hazrat Ali, may it be Hazrat Hussein Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. We can pass through the pages of history and we will find many, many pages on which the martyrdom of a great personality has been inscribed. And not only followers of prophets have been murdered through human history, but we come to know that even prophets were murdered. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salat was salam, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salat was salam, both father and son, both were murdered. And as people of faith, who are very deeply connected with profound personalities, when they come to know about the martyrdom of such people, they feel sorrow. And the feeling of sorrow, in reality, is part and parcel of the faith that their heart has captured. If anyone's close relative was to be murdered, indeed, that event will dictate and regulate the mood of that person that has experienced the loss. But we have to address this from a different angle. That all these profound personalities that gave their life, they did not give their life to safeguard their dignity, their honor, their well-being, their possessions. But the reason why they gave their life is so the religion that gave them so much, they could give to the religion. And this religion can blossom. And this religion can flourish. And this religion could spread throughout the entire world. That was the maqsad of their great sacrifice. May it be Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. May it be Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. Both gave their life for the sake of Islam. That in time to come, humanity are not deprived of the blessing of Islam that they enjoyed throughout their entire life. And they came to this realization that may it be life that is a very valuable commodity. May it be any other commodity or possession when it is compared to the commodity of Islam, the diamond of Islam, then all commodities that we possess become insignificant. Their maqsad of sacrifice is that as they held on to the religion throughout their entire life, we hold on to that religion. If we come together as Muslims on selected days and we remember the departure of such personalities and the dhulam that they encountered, but after the event, after the majlis, after the khutbah, people return back to their normal life, it defeats the purpose. If Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an or Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an were given life and they arrived in the theater in which we are, they will deeply desire that we change our life rather than lament the loss of their life. Celebrating or lamenting does not demand a change in life. Does not demand a change in life. Abu Lahab, one of the staunch enemies of Islam, the uncles of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his birth was very happy. If you read the seerah, he was very happy. He sacrificed animals. He slaughtered animals to express his rejoice, his happiness. Because expressing yourself, indeed, is a translation of what is in the heart, but it does not demand a change. But when Muhammad bin Abdullah became Muhammad Rasulullah, and he gave da'wah to that same uncle, this da'wah and the expressions of the Prophet of Allah demanded change. The same Abu Lahab that was over the moon on the birth of the Nabi of Allah became a staunch enemy. And likewise, if a person passes away and one person sits down and he cries and he laments for countless days, this in itself does not demand any change. And what Islam demands, the reason for the sacrifice of such personalities, that religion demands change. Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, they would like each one of us to hold on to the faith. The faith that was very dear to them. In the midst of bloodshed, they did not skip their prayer. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was stabbed whilst he was communicating with Allah. In the grounds of Karbala, in the midst of horror and bloodshed, Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala did not give up his prayer. Now if we truly love these personalities, and we feel pain for their pain, and when we remember their departure, it brings tears to our eyes, then there should be that level of connection with these personalities that the life that they have chosen and demonstrated, we take that life in totality. That is what they wanted. That's what they wanted. There can be no person of faith throughout the entire Muslim world who does not experience sorrow on the departure of the awliya of Allah, on the Ahle Bayt, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, on the Sahaba. If they don't have sorrow, that is a demonstration of very weak iman or no iman. But is our whole life surrounding that one event? Should a Muslim only focus upon the departure of Hazrat Umar? Or the departure of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala? Or is there much more to it? We are people that are productive and constructive. We look at everything objectively. We have to draw lessons from the life of these personalities that make us a better person, that make us a better Muslim. The family of the Prophet of Allah is dear to us because the Prophet of Allah is dear to us. If we don't respect the family of the Nabi of Allah, we can't be Muslims, because that is a direct representation of not loving the Nabi of Allah. A friend's friend is a friend. A friend's friend is a friend. The Nabi of Allah, he loved his family. We love the family. The Nabi of Allah loved the Sahaba. We love the Sahaba. Anything that is attached to the Nabi of Allah has become great for each one of us. It is because of that nisbah. There's two bricks. They are made at the same place, at the same time, same material has been used. One is used in the masjid, and one is used in the toilet. Same bricks. When you enter the toilet, you will wear shoes. Because you don't go into the toilet bare feet. And when you come into the masjid, you will take off your shoes. So what gave that respect to the brick that has been placed in the masjid, and that status to the brick that has been used in the toilet? It is nothing in the brick. It is the nisbat with the masjid and the nisbat with the toilet. Anything that has a nisbat with Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has attained high station and high rank. So if any Muslim has any resentment towards any personality, and let me say this again, if any Muslim has any resentment, ill feeling towards any personality that is dear to the Nabi of Allah, this is a weakness in his faith. We love these personalities because they were loved by the Nabi of Allah. May it be the Ahl Bayt that were very dear to Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they are dear to us. Or may it be the Sahaba They were very dear to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they are very dear to us. Anyone who is disliked by the Nabi of Allah is disliked by us. Our like and our dislike is determined by divine decree, by divine selection. Now, in the month of Muharram, two great personalities gave their life so Islam could spread throughout the entire world. They came to this realization that the life that they possess is insignificant compared to the value and the price of Islam. They knew it. Hazrat Umar gave his life. He departed on the first of Muharram from this dunya. And Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, he departed on the 10th of Muharram from this dunya. And Islam lost two profound personalities. Their contribution to the structure of Islam, to the legacy of Islam, is very, very rich. We cannot deny that. The contribution of Umar and the contribution of Hussein, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, is very, very rich. And we should thank them for that. Today I would like to make mention about Hazrat Umar, because it is the starting of Muharram. But indeed we will speak about Hazrat Hussein as well. But what I want my noble brothers and sisters to take back home is not the departure, it is the way they lived the life. It is the way they lived the life. That's where we will draw lessons from. So on the day of judgment, when we stand in front of these personalities and we speak to them and we converse with them, and indeed we will have the opportunity, we could say that, look, your death, your great, great sacrifice was not wasted. I am one of the children of this ummah that took your legacy and I became a better person in the eyes of Allah. Then indeed this change that requires a very high level of sacrifice, endeavor, will be truly appreciated by these people. Protracted discussions, lengthy discussions, academic discussions about the departure of personalities will not bring anything to the ummah. Protracted discussions, long, lengthy discussions will not bring anything. What we have to focus upon is where or what can I derive from these people that made them so great in the eyes of Allah, that can make me great in the eyes of Allah as well. In the early days, Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to give da'wah to the pagans of Makkah. There was very heavy opposition, very strong and mighty opposition. It seemed like, apparently, there was no shelter for the Muslims. There was no assistance, there was no nusra. Wherever Muslims were to go, they faced the brutality, the zulm of the infidels, of the idolaters. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam witnessed the pain of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, the persecution of many others that came into his religion, the religion that was very dear to him. So Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he thought in his mind that, for how long will my followers be persecuted? For how long will we confine ourselves in the home of Arqam, Dar-e Arqam, and pray? We need something to happen for us that will give us a boost. We need a change. For how long will people be enduring this persecution, we need a rapid change. We need somebody to come into the fold of Islam that can boost the morale, the zeal of the ones that are being persecuted. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam contemplated, he pondered, and he came to this understanding that there were two people that had muscle, that had clout, they could flex their muscle. And most of the decisions that were made by two people. One was Abu Jahl, and the second was Umar. I would like to stop here and make mention of something. Many a times we give up on people. And before making dua for their hidayah, we make dua for their destruction. Before making dua for their hidayah, we are very hasty and very quick in making dua for their destruction. Ya Allah, inko gharak kar de. Have we made dua for their hidayah? We cannot lose hope on anyone as long as he is alive. It doesn't matter what he has done towards one Muslim, towards one group of Muslims, towards one country of Muslims, there is still hope. We learn this from the seerah of the Nabi of Allah. We have not come here as cursers. We have come here as well-wishers. Ad-deenun nasiha. Deen is an embodiment of well-wishing. We well-wish for those that are close to us, that are dear to us, and we well-wish for those that are not close to us right now. But there's a possibility, there's a probability that he may become close to us in the future. The Nabi of Allah, he wanted Islam to gain strength, the Muslims to gain strength. He did not ask for the destruction and the death of those people that were responsible for the persecution. But he asked hidayah for them. That Ya Allah, if you can place so much hatred in their heart towards me and this faith, Ya Allah, you are muqallib al-qulub. Ya Allah, change those sentiments of hatred with the sentiments of love towards Islam. Ya Allah, you are the changer of the heart. You are the changer of the heart. So the Nabi of Allah, he made a dua. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in Musnad Ahmad, and Imam Tirmizi in Jami'u Tirmizi, on the strength of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he makes mention that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi Abi Jahl bin Hisham aw bi Umar ibn al-Khattab fa asbaha Umar fa ghada 'ala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam thumma salla fil masjid zahira aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. The Nabi of Allah, he made dua. He said, Ya Allah, there are two people. There are two people. Both have muscle. They flex their muscle. They are mighty. They are leaders. They are not followers. They are leaders, not followers. If, oh Allah, you can give me one of the two. If you can change the heart of one from the two, and then once you have changed the heart, let that person be the means of izzat of Islam. Allahumma ayyid al-Islam or Allahumma a'izz al-Islam. That he can support Islam. He can give strength to Islam. So Nabi Akreem is making this dua. The point that we derive is never lose hope. And never curse anyone. And even if you want to curse, say, Ya Allah, destroy them if there's no khayr in them. Because there may be khayr in them. Ya Allah, give them. You may be hearing my words. Because we have to be very careful in making dua. We are not the judges. Many a times you hear me say, Ya Allah, grant hidayah to the entire world. grants hidayah to the zalimeen, and if there is no hidayah for them, treat them as you will. This covers all different stations. Grant them hidayah, and if hidayah is not in their will, you treat them as you will. Don't stipulate how Allah should treat them. Ya Allah, if there's no hidayah for them, destroy them. Who gave you the authority to give mashwara to Allah to destroy them? Aap kone? Who are you? Ya Allah, destroy them. You are intervening in the taqdeer. Allah has a master plan. Did anyone know that when Pharaoh was killing all these children, that Allah will safeguard that one child? And then that one child will have tarbiyah in the house of Pharaoh? What a plan, what a master plan. Can anyone even fathom and contemplate this? But Allah has a master plan. Don't be a person that gives mashra to Allah in His master plan. We are insignificant. Our knowledge is very, very limited, minute. Ya Allah, if there is no hidayah, as you know how the future unfolds. If there is no hidayah for these people, Ya Allah, you treat them as you will. Because your will is the best will. And your will is the only will that will be executed. That's why they say, submit yourself to the will of Allah, you will never lose. Because always the will of Allah is executed. So the Nabi of Allah, he makes this dua. He said, Ya Allah, I need one of these two. The scholars have derived from this as well, that if there are people of influence in the community, we should try to make dua that Ya Allah, give them. Not their destruction, give them. If they have worked tirelessly against Islam, Ya Allah, give them hidayah, they work tirelessly for Islam. There are many people like that in the world. I don't want to mention them from the seat where I'm sitting right now. But you know who I'm talking about. Make dua for their hidayah. They can come towards Islam. Many people working against Islam, they are workers for Islam. Following day, the dua of the Nabi of Allah has been heard in the court of Allah. And not only the Nabi's dua, your dua, my dua is heard as well. What does Allah say in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 186? Ujibu da'wat ad-da' idha da'an. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. O Nabi of Allah, when people ask you concerning me, Allah says concerning me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. You tell them I'm very close to them by knowledge. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. I am closer to them than their jugular vein. Very, very close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِي. When they make dua, I respond to the invocation of the supplicant. We make the dua and Allah responds to it. Now we have heard many a times from scholars, and they have understood this from the different ahadith mubarakah, that many a times we may ask for something but it does not have khair for us in relation to this dunya. Now I ask you one thing. If one person makes dua from the bottom of his heart for the hidayah of a person, is there any alternative that is better than that for that person? There's nothing better. That's why they say, if you say, Ya Allah, grant me success in akhirah, there is no alternative to this that is better, because every person needs to succeed on the other side. That's why the du'as pertaining to akhirah indeed will be accepted. Allah says, you inform the people, I respond positively to the invocation of the supplicant. But there is one thing, or two things we have to do. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Obey me. So let them obey me. and let them believe in me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so they can be led aright. Make dua, not for yourself, but for the entire humanity. Not only for yourself, but for the entire humanity. The dua that we should make for ourselves, because we are at a certain level of hidayah, the dua that we should make for ourselves is, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. This is in the first section of Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, first section. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Ya Allah, that this hidayah that we enjoy, and we are proud to have this hidayah, Ya Allah, do not take it away from us. We are at the station where we have to sustain it. And there are people outside, they are at a station where they do not have it. People of hidayah make dua for their hidayah so they receive it as well. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes this dua. And the following day, this dua becomes a reality. And we will speak about that reality, inshallah, next week. But what I would like to say as a concluding remark upon what I have discussed is that indeed we grieve on the loss of our heroes, but we focus upon the departure of these people, that why did they give their life? It was for this Islam. Nothing is more precious than Islam. This beautiful diamond and gem that we have, hold on to it. Bring yourself to that connection with Islam, that if you were to give your life, or if Islam or the time demanded that you give your life, you will do exactly what the heroes did as well. You will do exactly what the heroes did. That's the message. Not only lamenting, and not only rejoicing on the birth and on the death, this will not bring a change in your life. And that's what's happening throughout the entire world. We rejoice on the birth of the Nabi of Allah, and we lament on the demise of heroes, and in between there's nothing. That's our life. Rejoicing, lamenting. But the maqsad of rejoice and the maqsad of lamenting is two stations. We have to travel through these two stations to really appreciate the rejoicing and the lament. Allah Rabbul Izzah, give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.